Anna von writes, I've had the pleasure, the honor of interviewing you several times, and I am very, very happy to be posting things by you about a most extraordinary complex topic, which is to say these different jurisdictions, maritime, territorial, municipal. Today we've agreed that we're going to do two things. You're going to give us an overview as you understand it, and then in the second portion, you'll talk about various groups that have been popping up and kind of talking and help people understand this ecology and who you consider to be reasonable and not. So let's begin, please, with your talking about these three jurisdictions and what the American citizen needs to know.
Okay, well, I will explain it as simply as I know how, and as I had to explain it to my 8-year-old goddaughter. I'm going to use some of the same tricks I used with her. When you think about it, we have the earth underneath our feet. We actually live and breathe in the air. And then there's this other realm out there known as the sea, or the big bodies of water that we know as lakes, right? So you have air, you have land, and you have sea, right? Well, that's really all that jurisdiction is about. You have different forms of law that apply on land, on the sea, and in the air. And that might be a little bit difficult to imagine, but land concerns your property rights. It is all about physical things. It's about your body. It's about your ownership of your home, or a building, a barn, an animal, a car. These are physical, actual things, and they're all tied to land and land law. And soil is part of, soil and land law. So that's the actual factual world, okay? It's all land law. Then sea law is about trade and commerce, about going to and fro among many nations. And it's all international law. And it's all about business and about trade and about war. You know, wars are conducted at sea, as well as on the land. But, the sea is a common jurisdiction. It's international. Everybody uses the sea for these purposes. And so everything on the sea is international. And then you have what? The air. The air is global, right? There's this one big blanket of air circulating around the planet.
Really good.
Okay. So the air is a global jurisdiction. And that is where something called commerce takes place. Now, on the sea, we have trade, which is business between people and unincorporated businesses and incorporated businesses and every other kind of business. All that takes place on the sea. But in the air, a different kind of business takes place, and that is called commerce. And commerce is special because it takes place between two or more incorporated entities. So I, as a living person, can't partake in commerce. I'm not incorporated, right? I don't have a board of directors. I don't have a treasurer or president or a secretary to take down notes when I have a meeting. All that stuff doesn't apply to me. So I can't participate in commerce. Okay? Commerce is strictly between two incorporated entities. I can participate in international trade through my lawful person, my name, but commerce is a different beastie, and that takes place in the jurisdiction of the air. Okay, but the jurisdiction of the air, generally speaking, is the realm of beliefs, like religious beliefs. So we have ecclesiastical law in the air. We have patents. We have trademarks. We have all of our intellectual properties that, you know, our ideas, our copyrights, our performances. Those are things that are all intangible in terms of being material, and yet they are, in effect, a material right. Okay, so if you think of it in terms of practical issues, the land and soil is all about the actual factual world and your ownership interest in it. The sea jurisdiction is all about international trade and relationships between nations as it respects trade. And the air is all about your beliefs, religious and otherwise, and your ideas and your intellectual properties. So that's the three jurisdictions, and there are different forms of law that apply in each one of those jurisdictions. That's really all it is. Now, I just pointed out that I, as a living woman, cannot participate in commerce, okay? I don't have standing to participate in commerce because I'm not incorporated. I don't own a corporation. I don't have a board of directors. See, I'm not a corporation, so I can't participate in commerce. I don't have standing. Okay, that's what's called standing. You have to have standing to be able to do something. And to think about standing, for example, my neighbor has a really bad divorce going on, but I don't have standing to say anything about it, right? It's not my family. It's not my life, not my spouse, right? And so you have to have standing in order to address something in law.
Let's stop there. And let me ask you, because I think a lot of people are really confused about this whole idea of birth certificates and being turned civilians or people being turned into chattel, basically. I had to look the word up. It means property of somebody else. So why don't you address where the individual's rights and sovereignty have been destroyed by this system of three jurisdictions?
Well, I don't know if it's been destroyed by the jurisdictions, but it's been destroyed by people manipulating the jurisdictions and the different forms of law. Our property rights are all attached to land and soil law. And so when you are a man standing on the land of your country, when you're on the land and soil of your state of the union, you have all the property rights in the world. You own the land, you own the public infrastructure, you own your private property. That car that's sitting in the driveway is yours, your house is yours. You are the landlord and possessor. You don't owe anybody anything that you didn't individually and privately contract to owe, okay? So all of your material rights, your right to own this coffee cup depend upon the land jurisdiction and the soil jurisdiction that are rightfully yours. So what did the crooks do? They trafficked you. They stole your identity. They impersonated you. And they pretended that you had just up and taken off from the land and gone to sea. And on the sea, you don't have any property rights. You have rights to trade. You have rights to passage. You have all sorts of other rights, but you don't have anything connected to the land and the actual factual world. So they deprived you of your land and soil by mischaracterizing you as a British territorial citizen, which means a British territorial employee. And they did this when you were just a baby in your cradle. They did this with no disclosure to your parents. And they just kind of snuck in like evil fairies in the night and unlawfully converted you from being an American, living and breathing and standing on the soil of your native state of the Union, into a British territorial citizen as if you were a Puerto Rican government employee. Just here visiting. and they arbitrarily falsified the public records and registered you as such while you were still a baby. You couldn't possibly know that this had been done. You were given no notice or disclosure, neither were your parents. And so that results in what is called an unconscionable contract. There is no way that you could possibly know that this contract, to be identified as a Puerto Rican employee of the government, could, you know, you could never know that it existed. That's what an unconscionable contract is, and it's totally illegal and unlawful. So they did this, and they have these falsified registrations on millions of Americans. And that is why, even though we sit here and we think, well, of course I'm an American. I grew up here. I was born here. My parents were here. We're sitting here. Well, of course I'm an American. There's no doubt that I'm an American. Just look at my high school yearbook. But in fact, all your life, you've been mischaracterized, impersonated, and misidentified as something else entirely. You've been misidentified as if you were born in Puerto Rico and went to work for the federal government and have been doing this all your life.
So let me ask you this. What's the impact on an individual's health, family, finances of this stuff?
Well, it's actually terrible because you are deprived of your right to own property. All of your property vests in the Queen. You can't own land in this country. You can't own land anywhere because if you're a Brit or British territorial, worse, everything that you are and own is owned by the Queen.
So when someone has, I mean, a lot of people do own land and they've got a title to the land, although we've also had many injustices. For example, many Mexican land ownership documents were burned by white Western settlers who then said, oh, well, we don't have any documentation. So there's been many injustices throughout history. But right now, if I own 3 acres outright, no mortgage, what are you trying to tell me?
I'm telling you that as a British territorial citizen, you can't own land in this country. So what you've got is a title. And that very word should kind of raise some red flags, because what do we also talk about as titles, like Duke and Earl, right? So you have a title to that land, but you don't actually own it.
So you're saying the Queen, it's kind of the Queen is entitling you to reside on the land, but you don't own it. All right, so what should someone do to break out of this circle of tyranny?
Well, it's basically a circle of fraud. It's illegal, unlawful.
That's a very good point. And I want to tell people that the Supreme Court has ruled that any contract based on fraud is obviated once the fraud is disclosed. Now, you've been trying for decades to disclose this fraud. I think people are finally starting to hear you. And I just want to make one other point. President Trump's 2 executive orders on being able to confiscate wealth associated with human trafficking, one in December 2017, another in January 2020, could in some ways be 2 cannon shots at the Queen.
Well, basically, the Queen needs some cannon shots. They have usurped upon our lawful government. They've done so in breach of trust. They've employed all of these improper contracting processes. They falsified records. They've benefited themselves at our expense. They have held Americans accountable to their foreign law. And as you can see, Amendment 11 absolutely forbids holding Americans accountable to foreign law. But you see, they've held us accountable to their foreign law by redefining us as one of them.
Let me jump in here very quickly and just point out to people that it was the United Kingdom and MI6 that tried to destroy President Donald Trump as a candidate with the Steele dossier, no relation to Robert Steele. I was the spy for the CIA. Christopher Steele was the spy for MI6. And so it became very clear to President Trump and to me and to Juan O'Savin and many others that the real enemy of America is the United Kingdom And I would say also Israel, never to be confused or conflated with Judaism. So it looks like people are waking up to the fact that it's actually the United Kingdom that is the main enemy of the United States of America. What would you suggest that people start doing about this?
Well, first of all, leave the United Kingdom.
And how do you do that?
Stand up and wave your hand and say, I'm an American. I declare that I'm an American. I declare that I stand on the land and soil of my state of the union. And, you know, just make your declaration and record it on the land recording office. Now, they're trying to shut up all of the land recording offices. They're trying to close it down so that people can't get back on the land. They're trying to permanently enforce this fraud scheme. So we have recently opened up our own land recording office or service, land recording service. It's called the LRS, and it's an international computerized land recording service where you can post your declaration of political status and identify yourself, who you are and where you come from, and claim your land and soil rights in any country in the globe. But we've done, you know, obviously we designed it for our own use. And so you can make your declaration. There are, we have a declaration for Americans posted at our website, the AmericanStatesAssembly.net. And you just, it's a one-page declaration. It just covers all the basic bases. It claims your DNA. It claims your name. It claims your property, your land holdings, you know, everything that, that you naturally by right have as an American. And you sign it and you get two witnesses to verify that you are who you say you are. And you have a copy of a birth certificate or a naturalization paper or, you know, whatever you have that you can bring forward to document where you were born or how you came into this country, from where. And, you know, then you have adopted your state of the union. You have adopted your land and soil. You're back home from being overseas.
What practical value does that have?
It restores your land rights, which then they restore your property rights. You can now own your own house. You can now own your own car. You can now own your own body, your own DNA, your labor, your cat, your children. You can now
this
own
is
your
still,
own
this
children.
This is still very confusing to me. I mean, I'm certainly ready to take on the British Empire and the Pilgrim Society and the Mossad and the Zionists, never to be conflated or confused with Judaism. But I'm still not understanding, and I think I tend to think at the presidential level or the meta level. So Donald Trump has been reinstated as in a second term as president because fraud has been demonstrated and the presidential election results have been overturned. And I expect that to happen in March. It may not, but I expect it to. So you're speaking to Donald Trump. What do you ask Donald Trump to do so that all American citizens are liberated?
Well, unfortunately, they did this one at a time. And it has to be undone one at a time. But we all need to realize that they have registered us as foreign people, as British.
Is there a registry in England where every American birth certificate is recorded?
Well, there is a registry, but it's not in England. The registry is your Bureau of Vital Statistics or your Department of Health in the state where you were born that issued the birth certificate. Okay, so that's the registry. And you have been registered and your children have been registered as basically British territorial dependents or employees.
But Anna, you know, someone's going to go look at that registry and they're not going to see any sign at all that they're being registered as a British territorial. What do you say to people who say this doesn't, I don't compute this?
Look up the legal meaning of certificate.
Okay, go on.
Well, you'll find that a certificate is issued in response to a deposit of what? You, your baby. And where are you being deposited? You're being deposited with the state of whichever state you're in. State of Alaska, state of Utah, state of Nevada, whichever state of state you're in.
What would you call a birth document that does not convey ownership?
A record, a birth record.
Okay.
You know, we used to have birth announcements in the newspaper. The proud family would announce that a new son is born to Jacob and Anna Gottschalk, okay? Mm-hmm. A son, James, you know? And that we used to do that. And we used to write it in our family Bibles. And those family Bibles are admissible evidence in a land jurisdiction or soil jurisdiction court.
Now that's really, really interesting. Let me ask you this, because I want to move to a close with my traditional 30-minute interview, which then brings people to your website, which I think is very important. And I think Paul Streamer has done a tremendous job of publicizing your stuff. And I rigorously point to, I never copy entire stuff. I always do a headline, a paragraph, your image, and then a link to your articles. And I certainly encourage everybody to read them. Now let's do the last 5 minutes. Just paint us the ecology of others who are out there. Now, we're not here to be negative or defame anybody. We can't call anybody a fraud, but who else is out there? And let's start with, who do you admire other than yourself that is in this space?
Well, there are actually a lot of people that I admire. I very much admire the work of Kurt Kallenbach. He's done real strong service for mankind. I admire Frank O'Collins, another man who has done amazing research and brought forward huge amounts of public records and little known factoids that have filled in the picture and allowed us to put the pieces of the puzzle together. So there are quite a few people who are individual scholars or who are leading the fight in one way or another that are really wonderful, and everybody needs to appreciate the sacrifices that they've made, because they've done this all on their own, often swimming upstream and taking lots of hard hits to do it.
So let me ask you this, and I want to say, I hope you'll introduce me to them so that I can do a short interview and round this picture out. Without naming names, what are some of the themes that are negative in this space?
I think that the one thing that is really harming us most is divisiveness of ideas and ignorance. You know, I did not want to lead an organization that now is 50 state assemblies. I did not want to get involved in any of that kind of thing, but it finally became apparent that somebody had to, because nobody else who's out there doing any of this understands the jurisdiction. They are not assembling assemblies, state assemblies. They are assembling district assemblies. And I guess think of the three little pigs. You got the house of straw, you got the house of wood, and you have the house of bricks. Well, we have three different kinds of assemblies. We have the house of straw could be the municipal citizenry. It's the district assembly for the municipal citizens. And the House of Sticks could be the district assembly of the territorial citizens, the U.S. citizens, as if you were born in Puerto Rico. But the House of Bricks is made up of Americans who claim their true identity as Americans, and each one of us is a brick in that state assembly.
Let me jump in quickly and tell you that there are two other movements that I think strongly support where you're going or trying to go, and as you have done for decades of dedicated work. One of them is the United Counties of America, which is trying to reinstate public voting power at the county level. The other one is the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, led by Sheriff Mack, with Sheriff Brad Rogers, who has come out publicly and said that the elected sheriff is the highest legal law enforcement officer in any county and has the duty to push back against federal, state, and local officials who overreach their authority. And I think this sheriff's movement, which is now being expanded to include pastors and doctors and lawyers at the county level, is very much in harmony with what you're doing. Is there any other negative or any other final comment that you want to make?
It's an in through the outdoor kind of situation where what we're doing is we're repopulating the counties coming from the international place where we've all been dumped by the registration process, then returning to the land jurisdiction at the state level, and then going back to the soil jurisdiction at the county level. When someone joins our state assembly, they're automatically repopulating their county too. See, the county movement is trying to do this separately at the county level, but that leaves them without any way to conduct business at the state level or at the international level. We're doing it the opposite way, and it's a maxim of law, by the way, that however a thing is bound, it has to be unbound. So they trafficked us from the soil to the land to the sea. So we're out at sea when we start this process. So what we've done is we have unraveled it the way it was bound. We have unbound it using the same sequence, going from the sea to the land to the soil. And that is the correct way to do it in law. So these people who are over here creating these county assemblies, I understand them. I know what they're doing. I appreciate it, but they're going at it wrong because they can't get there from here. They have to start out where they've been dumped out here by the registration process, record over that to get back to the land, and then they automatically inherit the soil.
So if you're invited to talk to the citizens of a county, and say, here's what you need to do. What is your briefest possible description of what citizens in any given county need to do?
If you want your constitutional guarantees, if you want to actually own your land and your property, if you want control of your children, if you want to be counted as an American, then you need to make a simple one-page declaration of that fact and who you are. You need two witnesses who can verify that you are who you say you are. And you need some kind of document that shows that you were born at a particular place and time. That's it.
All right, let's stop there. It makes my head hurt, I have to tell you candidly. And I'm a fairly smart guy, but this and extraterrestrials are the two things I haven't been able to get a grip on. I have gotten a grip on satanic pedophilia and Wall Street treason and crime.
That's probably enough.
Yeah, it is. Let me say, we'll stop here. I will certainly post this and I will continue to post your articles. And I know that somewhere down the road, I may get a glimmer of understanding, but I will certify that I think you're making a valuable contribution and you need to be heard. And for that, I thank you very, very much.
Thank you for the opportunity, Robert. I hope that one of these days it all just kind of clicks for you.
Thank you.